Good morning. I was praying. My wife and I tend to try to have prayer every day about certain needs and certain things. And as we were praying, we were getting up for prayer the other day, the Lord brought to my mind the privilege that we have to pray. And it's a great privilege to pray to the Lord, and it's a great privilege that we, you know, those of us that have spouses and people that are in our family that pray, that can pray with us and get a prayer through. It's a great privilege for us to have that. Sometimes we take it for granted. It's so much that we take for granted. And sometimes we take those things for granted, that we have somebody that's not fighting against us, somebody that's not resisting us in our stand for the Lord. They're there to embrace it. And also it's a great privilege that we have, even though it's just a few of us that are here today, and those that are online, we have a privilege to come together. We have a privilege to pray, and we have a privilege to worship the Lord. And we're not afraid at this moment in our existence that the government is going to break through the doors and haul us all to jail. That's a great privilege. And in some countries, they have to do it without you knowing, without anybody knowing it. That would be very stressful and very difficult. But here's the point that we want to make, is that the Lord is with them just like he's with us.
Yes.
All right. And probably in some ways with them more than he is with us, because we have a little problem sometime. Well, I got a little I'm not going to come to church today, but I went everywhere else. You know, we've all probably been guilty of that at some point in our existence. It's just a little scratchy throat at the start. And I better use wisdom. We do that, but it's a privilege for us to come and worship together. Isn't that wonderful that we have that privilege? May the Lord help us. Let us turn to the 18th chapter of Luke. We're going to read, starting at the first verse, we're going to read down to that chapter. If you have it, yes. All right, spake a parable unto them unto this end, that men ought always to pray. So as we say, it's a privilege for us to pray. Men ought always to pray. When are you supposed to pray? All the time. Sometimes we forget to pray. Have you ever been in a situation that's been so stressful and you're worrying about it and wondering about it, and then instead of praying about it? All right, Lord, help us to pray. Help us to understand that we can get a whole lot more done by going to the Lord in prayer than worrying about it. All right. We all have a tendency, and I know all of us have been in situations where we worried about something and we worried about something and we worried about it. But what we want to do is take it to the Lord in prayer. That's our privilege. We have a right to do that. All right. Read.
Saying.
There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. So now we have two different individuals. We have one that's an elected or an appointed official that's in the government, that has the authority and has the power and the strength to do whatever it is that this particular widow, now that's on the one hand, someone in power, and you're talking about a widow here. This is a parable that God, that Jesus is speaking. The widow is a woman. In most instances, they're older women. When we think of widows, we think of an elderly woman. She's been married for a space of time. Her husband has died. All right. So in this situation, I believe this is what it's talking about. A widow, and she's gone to the judge. She has no authority, no power. She's going to the judge, the one who can do something about it. Right. And what happens?
Avenge me of mine adversaries.
And he would not for a while.
Afterwards,
but afterward, he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man. Now, I want to stop there for a moment. He said, I don't fear God and I don't fear man. That is a dangerous individual. I don't care about anybody. God is not going to do it. Whether I believe in God or not, he says, I don't fear him. So I am the ultimate authority here. I am the one that can do something. So I want us to take note of this. He said, there is no other man that can rise up and tell me what to do. So he doesn't fear God and he doesn't fear man. That man has, in his mind, he has a lot of authority, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Well, in our mind, he has a lot of authority too. But you got a little weak little woman over here that has no recourse. She can't force this man to do anything. Have you ever noticed we can't force somebody to do anything? Right? But let me tell you, we can go to the Lord and the Lord can do the forcing, right? Read, please.
And
Yet because this widow troubleth me,
I will avenge
her, lest by her continual coming she weary me.
And the Lord
said, Hear what the unjust judge saith,
and shall not
God
avenge
his own elect, which
cry
day and night unto him,
though
he bear long with them?
I tell
you that he will avenge them speedily.
Nevertheless,
when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? I think that there is one thing that happens to us on many occasions. We're in a situation and circumstances that we need a particular thing, and we prayed about it. We've asked the Lord about it. We've asked the Lord to do something about it. And instead of the Lord doing something about it like this, like we expect him to, he waits. He forces us to wait. And some of us are not as patient as we should be. And so we pray about it today, and then we wait for the Lord to give an answer, and then an answer doesn't come. We pray about it tomorrow, and then next week, and then we stop praying about it because we assume in our minds that this is not God's will for us. All right? But God, this is not what this scripture, this parable is talking about. There are things, if you ask in my name, the scripture says, I will give it to you. So if we ask according to the will of God, the Lord will give us what we ask for if we ask it according to his will. So ultimately what we must do in our prayer, in this privilege that we have, Lord, the first thing that we do, Lord, this is what I want. Is this thing that I'm asking for according to your will? And if it is according to his will, and the Lord speaks to us and says, yes, this is according to my will, then the Lord will do that for us. It's our privilege to continue to ask. So what we do sometimes is we stop asking because, well, I haven't seen any results. I don't know if my prayer is getting through. I don't know if this is what God wants. But we have a privilege to go to the Creator, and it says that he said this parable on this behalf, right? That men ought always to pray and not faint. Now, what does that mean? That I have a right to go to the Lord, and I have a right to continue to pray, and I have a right to say, and I must in my own mind say, you know what? I'm not going to get weary. I'm not going to faint about this. I'm going to keep asking the Lord until the Lord gives it to us. I think sometimes we give up far too easily and far too soon. All right? So what the Lord is telling us here in this scripture, he says that this man that had no one that was pushing him, no one that was forcing him to do anything, what this judge did, he said, all right, she's getting on my nerves, in essence. She's getting on my nerves, so what I'm going to do, I'm just going to give it to her because I want her to go away. The only way that she's going to go away is that I give this thing, I avenge her of her adversaries. So the Lord did that. The judge did that. So, and then what did the Lord say? And the Lord said, hear ye what the unjust judge said, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them, though it takes him a long time to do the particular thing from our perspective. You know, even though the Lord is, seems like it takes a long time, he's right on time.
Amen.
No matter what, no matter, he always comes in the nick of time. And I think that's an interesting point, because I've been in situations, you know, we're talking about funds for the building and whatnot. And I thought to myself, sometimes it gets like, oh boy, is it going to happen? We seem like we're under pressure all the time, and there's always something happening. But you know what I've learned in not just the history in doing this particular job, but I've learned in every job that I've ever done for the Lord always comes through on time. It may seem like it's puts you under pressure. It may seem like, oh man, is it going to happen? Is it going to happen in the time frame that we're wanting it to happen? And let me tell you, the Lord has always done it. And that, you know what that does? That makes you depend on the Lord even more. I want to trust the Lord. And so the Lord puts us in places that our faith is tested and our faith is tried. This is what was going on with this woman here. Her faith was tested, in essence, and her faith was tried. She didn't get it right away, but she got it. Ultimately, she got it. She got what she wanted because she kept doing it and she believed. All right.
Amen.
All right. Nevertheless, shall the Son of Man. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Do you anticipate that faith is kind of lifting up off the earth, that it's harder to have faith today than it maybe was 50 years ago? Have you noticed that there are a lot of people, you've seen that? All right. Yeah. Have you noticed that when we were children, particularly some that are older than I am, when we were children, it seemed like almost everybody was a Christian of some type. They went to church, right? Most of the people you know in your neighborhood, there were very few people that didn't go to some kind of a church and have some kind of a religious background, right? Today, that is not the case. I'm seeing that today, it's a great amount of people that have their, well, me and God have an understanding. And I'm spiritual. I'm not really religious. I don't really believe in God, but I'm a very spiritual person. Well, what does that mean? What we have to say as men and women of God, as Christians, what we have to say is, you can be spiritual all you want to. All of us, we have a spirit. There's three parts of us. Yes, I'm a spiritual being, but listen, there is something greater than just me. There is something greater than just the universe. Well, I worship the universe. No, I worship the creator of the universe.
Amen.
The creator. And that's important for us to understand. And that's where the privileges come in. Because if I had the ear of the president, or there was something that I wanted done, and I had the ear of someone that's in great power, that's something wonderful, isn't it? But let me tell you, I've got the ear of someone above them and beyond them, and I can talk to them at any time. And at any time I want to talk to the Lord is right there listening to me. Isn't that the privilege that we have as children, as men and women of God? That I have a privilege that no matter what time, day or night, I didn't realize Brother Michael called me the other day and called me last night. My phone was in the other room. I didn't get a hold of it. And you know why? I couldn't hear what he wanted. Even he had a request. I couldn't have done the request because I didn't hear it. Right? But here's the point. That's never the case with God. You may be calling him at the same time. Remember how we used to have busy signals and whatnot? It didn't go to voicemail. You just got the busy signal. Because somebody else had beat you to the punt. Somebody else was calling on that individual and you couldn't do anything about it but wait, and then kept calling. And if they just took the phone and didn't want to be bothered and took it off the hook because they're getting too many requests, you couldn't get to them until they put the phone back on the hook. Remember that? That's the old-fashioned way, right? Well, you know what? You never run into that with God. God is always there. It's a privilege. It's never going to be busy when you call him, when you pick up the phone. Lord, I'm desperate. When you're driving down the highway and then there's a cars that are in front of you and you hit on your brake, and what do? Lord, have mercy. We don't need him. In 5 minutes, let me call you back. I'll get right back to you. You know how we do that sometime? We text the person back and we say, you're on the line. I'll call you back later. Those automatic things. I don't need it then. I don't need the Lord to say, I'll call you back later. I don't need him to do that. When I need him, I need him to answer the phone, so to speak. I need him to answer the line. And what does he do? He always picks up. And when I say, Lord, have mercy on me, the Lord has mercy on me. Isn't that wonderful? But let me tell you something else. I have to have lived the right kind of a life. Have you ever been in a situation? Oh, I know y'all have done this. Look at the phone and say, I don't want to talk to that person right now. You ever done that? Oh, maybe you just don't have the mental energy. I've been there. So many things are coming in at you at the same time, and you just don't have the mental energy to pick up because you know there's going to be a problem on the other line with this individual, because that's the kind of individual that they are. They're always like little Linus on the comic strip. They're always bringing a problems and dirt around them and all this kind of thing. I've had those people. As a pastor, you're going to have those kind of individuals in your congregation. You're going to have them. You love them anyway. As in the business world, you're going to have those kinds of people that, I'm always putting out fires in the business world. And there's, you always have some people that are calling you 10 or 12 times. Let me tell you, the Lord is always there for you. And it is a privilege for us to be able to pray and seek the Lord about anything. So don't despair. The Lord hears your prayer. Thank the Lord. All right. I want to read another scripture. Let's turn to 1 Chronicles, the 29th chapter. And the 10th verse, 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 10. If you have it, read it, please. Yes.
Wherefore, David blessed the Lord before all the congregation.
All right, David is doing some things, and he's asking the folks to give, to build a temple and whatnot. And he goes and he gets down before the Lord and he starts praying and he starts seeking the Lord. And he said, wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation.
And David said,
blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, Father,
forever and ever.
Thine, O Lord,
is the greatness
and the power
and the glory
and the victory
and the
isn't that wonderful? That's just the first thing that he said. He didn't say he acknowledged who God was. And what did he say God was? He said, for thou art is the greatness
and the power
and the glory
and the victory
and the majesty. You know, almost everything that I need. Almost everything that I need is encompassed in that statement right there. I need the power sometimes. I need power. Sometimes I need the victory in certain trials and tests that I'm going through. And then it shows the glory of the Lord and the majesty of the Lord, for all that is in the heavens and in the earth is thine.
Thine is the
kingdom, O Lord,
and thou
art exalted as head above all. Now, this is the character of the God that David is praying to. This is who he is.
Yeah.
This is what he is. And this is the character of the God that you and I pray to on a regular basis.
Amen.
All right? He is the creator of the universe. So he's saying here, for thine is the power, the glory, the victory, the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom. He rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whoever he wants. It doesn't matter who's in the Oval Office, and it doesn't matter who's in the governor's mansion. It does not matter. What matters is that the saints of God are praying for those individuals, and the saints of God are asking God to intervene for them.
Yes.
I don't trust any of them. I don't care who they are. I don't care what party they represent. It doesn't matter. I'm trusting the Lord, because you put your confidence in men, they're going to fail you. I promise you, no matter who you voted for, there's something about that individual that you do not like. Am I correct in that?
Yes.
Oh, I love everything about this person. No, I've never had that experience. Maybe some of you have, but I've never had that experience. But let me tell you, the experience that I've had that God has never failed me, no matter what I've gone through, no matter how difficult it is, God has never failed me. So what do? I can go to the Creator. I have the privilege of praying to the one that created those that are in those offices, the unjust judge, the one that created them. And the Lord says, I am ruling in the kingdom of men, and I give it to whoever I want to give it to. He says that. Sometimes it's for our benefit. Sometimes it's for our judgment. Lord, have mercy on us.
Amen.
All right.
Both riches
and honor come of thee.
And thou reignest over all.
In the nine hand is power and might.
In the
nine hand it is to be to make great
and to give
strength unto all.
Now therefore,
O God,
we
thank thee and praise thy glorious name. This is the privilege that we have. You're talking about going to the king. You're talking about going to somebody that's in great authority. I have the privilege of him knowing my name.
Yes.
I have the privilege of serving him.
Yes.
Isn't that wonderful? Yes. All right, read.
But who am I?
What is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort?
For all things
come of thee,
and of thine
own have we given thee. So this is how David is seeing this. David is saying, Lord, who are we? Who are we to say that we can come to you and ask you of these things, and we can come to do some of the things that we're wanting to do for you? Who are we? We're nothing. We're nobody. And I think that is a safe place for us all to be in.
Yeah.
When you start thinking that you're somebody, it's the beginning of the end. When you start thinking that you deserve what God is giving you, it's the beginning of the end. We don't deserve it, but we have the privilege of going to God and seeking him about these things, and God does them for us. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
Thank the Lord for that. All right, so he's saying, he's setting the stage. I want to go on another scripture, Matthew 6 and verse 9. Let's go there. I believe it's also in Luke. This is about the Lord's Prayer.
Matthew 6 and verse 9.
After this manner, therefore, so the disciples had asked him in one place, and I think it's in Luke, where they say, Lord, teach us to pray. They saw him praying, and then they said to the Lord, Lord, would you teach us to pray? And this is what the Lord said, okay?
Our Father, which art in heaven.
And I've preached on this on several occasions. I think I preached on it here. I preached on it here before. But it's a good outline, and it when we say we have the privilege of prayer, there are a few things that I think that we need to understand here, and I think that it makes it a little bit better and a little bit easier for us when we're praying and we realize that we have the privilege of prayer. Now, if my father was a king, I'd have a lot more privileges than than I do now. My father was a poor farmer, a poor trash route guy. But I learned so much from him, and it was wonderful. I have no qualms and no problems with what kind of father I had. I had a great father. But he says here, after this manner pray ye,
our Father.
Now, here, our Father, if he's, hold on, our Father, what is our? It's possessive, isn't it? Oh, I don't know what the English term is. What a Miss Boy can teach y'all. Okay, so, all right, so our Father, so that's whose father? Mine. It's my father, it's your father too, right? Our Father, and where is he? In heaven, okay? That's where he lives, right? His address is in heaven. So if I have a father which is in heaven, so that I have a privilege, is any higher place than that?
No.
Oh, my father lives in a great mansion, the most expensive place in America. He has $40 billion, or how many ever billion dollars? So what? Mine lives in heaven. He rules the whole world. That's the privilege that I have. He's my father.
Yes.
All right? I have his DNA. When I get saved, when I seek the Lord and I repent of my sins and he comes into my life, he's my father.
Amen.
Spiritually speaking, he created me, not just the creator, but he belongs to me. That's possessive. That's my father. And I can go and I can get things from him that I need. So I have the privilege to my father. I have access to him, right?
Yes.
The widow and the unjust judge in that parable, she had continual access to this unjust judge, right? She can go to him at any time, apparently, or in the allotted time. What you and I have for the Lord is that we can go to him anytime. I went to him this morning at 3:00 in the morning while the rest of y'all were asleep. Or maybe you went to him as well. Whatever time it is, that's our Father. We have the privilege of going to our Father and saying, Lord, if I need to borrow some money, would you give me some money? We can do that. If my father was rich and I went to him, unless there was something that he was trying to prove to me, and I needed money, and I didn't do it very often, and I didn't go to him all the time and waste his money, he'd probably give it to me, right?
Yes.
You'd definitely do it for your son, wouldn't you? If you had access to great wealth and your son needed it, and he desperately needed it, and it was legitimate, you'd give it to him. Well, that's what we can do with our Father. That's the privilege that we have. So we were asking for money, right? We were saying, listen, we need the funds to finish up this job. And the Lord started giving it to us. Why? Because we were praying.
Yeah.
We were praying. So one of the things that Brother Davey was suggesting to us is we get together and we pray, because this is not a spiritual battle. This is not a temporal battle. You're not fighting against men. That's true. It's very true. And I felt inspired. We need to pray for the things that we're asking for the Lord to do it for us. Because that's our Father, and he's in heaven. He has access to a whole lot of stuff, right? Our Father which art in heaven, all right? Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So really, ultimately, the scripture tells us very plainly that if we do the will of the Father, there's something special about it. As parents, do we have children that were obedient? And if we had a child, let's just put it, you know, I know some of us had obedient children, and some of us had a mixture of both. And some of us were obedient children and some of us weren't. Okay. And most of us weren't in certain situations. We just didn't let our parents know. I was a fairly obedient son when they were looking. And then there were times that I wasn't so obedient when they weren't looking. I want you children not to listen to that part. But it's true. And I know all of us have had those kinds of experience. But when you have a child that is obedient, they can come to you and almost anything that they ask for, if you have the capacity to give it to them, you're going to do it. If you have a hard-headed son, you're going to teach them some things. Now, I remember one of the things I said, Mom, I would go to my mother and say, Mom, if I cleaned up my room, now you're supposed to keep it clean, right? If I cleaned up my room, can I go play with Junior? This is my friend. You either go clean up your room first and then come back and ask me. So I knew not to come to her and say, if I do this, then will you do that? It's like, oh, Mom, my room is clean. Can I go play? Because you know what you were supposed to do. And then you're more likely to be able to go and play because you did what you were supposed to do. So if we meet all of the conditions that the Lord wants us to meet, you want to be an obedient child, a dear child to the Lord, you have privileges that other hard-headed children don't have. Well, Mama, why are you letting them do? Why are you letting them go? They can go. Have you ever said that to you? Well, they're able to go. Well, they did what they were supposed to do, and you didn't. So you're going to stay here until you get it done. Those are the kind of things that happen in real life, right?
Right.
If they happen in real life, do you suppose that our Father, which is a symbol of the earthly fathers in one sense, right? Do you suppose if we have done all that we could, that we can go to the Lord and have privileges that we may not have had without doing that? Now, I'm going to be an obedient child, Lord. I'm endeavoring to please you. And you know what? You have some people that say, you know, I want to please my parents. And there is something about a child. The Lord puts inside of us this desire to please our parents. And that doesn't go away even when we get grown. There is something about us that the average child, is what I'm saying, wants to please a parent, particularly if that parent is a good parent. And we've had that commendation since we were children. So we doing something, and then we look up and make certain that mom and daddy are looking, or somebody is looking, and then we go, big boy, big girl, that's so sweet. There is something about it that we want to have that. And then as that develops in us and really never leaves, there is something about us that ultimately we want to please our parents. So in the same way, we want to please our Heavenly Father. And then when we please our Heavenly Father, we have privileges when we pray and we go and ask. Because of what is prayer? Prayer is simply a communication with the Lord. Sometimes it's praising the Lord for what He's already done. Sometimes it's wonderful things, just the fact that the Lord, you saved me. Sometimes that's a wonderful thing for me to just say, Lord, the Lord saved me. I don't have to sin anymore. That's I say it all the time. That's one of the most wonderful things about it. I don't have to sin. A temptation that comes along my way, that used to come along my way, and I would be drawn to it. I don't have to do it anymore by the help and the grace of God.
Right.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
And when it gets strong and the enemy's trying to pull me one way or another, I can go to the Lord. I have the privilege of praying to the Lord and asking Him, Lord, please give me the power and the strength to resist the devil. And what does He do? He gives me the power and the strength to resist the devil. We just talked about Job. And what did Job say? He said, I'm looking for the Lord. Sometimes we can't find Him like we want to find Him. He said, but He knows the way that I take. And when He is trying me, what's going to happen? I shall come forth as gold. So in other words, what's going to happen is I have the results. I know what's going to happen. God is going to give me, I'm going to come forth as gold. And there was another place that He said, I should go to Him, and what will He do? Will He make all the problems and trials and issues go away? He said, no, what He's going to do, He's going to pour strength in me. Yeah. Remember when He said that to Job? He's going to put strength in me. Yeah. Sometimes that's what we need. We just need to open up our hearts, and we just need to open up our lives and say, Lord, I need the strength to bear this. This is difficult. I don't know why I'm going through this. It's difficult, and I just want You to pour strength in me.
Right.
May the Lord help us. All right, moving toward our conclusion. Interesting about this message, I wasn't sure what to name it. So sometimes you get up here and you say, Lord, I'm just going to follow what Your leading is and what You want for that month, but I have a whole lot more here, but I don't really feel like it's for this time. And I wasn't sure when the Lord started giving it to me that it was for this day, but it's going to be preached, and I just not today, perhaps. All right, so it says here, okay, continue. You got down through the Matthew 6 and verse 12.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So you know what? There's one thing that we have to do. If you want people to forgive you, you're going to have to forgive them. There are going to be people that have come. They're going to come against you. They're going to violate you. There are going to be people that you just don't, you know. Sometimes, have you ever been in a situation that you don't feel like that person deserves your forgiveness? In other words, they did you so wrong. But I learned something in my own experience, and I know that there are some people, I've seen some people, that it is very difficult for them to forgive. They hold grudges. That is not something that, holding a grudge is not something that I do. It just, to me, it's just too much work. it's too much trouble. I'm still mad at this person and turning my head when they look at me. And it's some people's infirmity, but it's not mine. But there have been times that it has been difficult for me to forgive. I want to forgive them. I've been trying to forgive them. I've intellectually forgiven them, but haven't forgiven them from the heart. And I've had to pray for myself that, Lord, I don't want to intellectually forgive them in my head and say, I've forgiven that person. I want to forgive them from the heart. And the interesting thing is, we're talking about the privilege that we have to go to the Lord in prayer. We can go to the Lord in prayer and the Lord can deliver us and can give us what we need to forgive. It's our privilege. And we can keep asking, like the widow and the unjust judge, Lord, you have to help me because this unforgiveness is weighing me down. And I can't handle it anymore. You've got to do something. And you keep going to the Lord, just like the widow with the unjust judge. And you keep going to the Lord. And let me tell you, I know for a fact that the Lord can forgive. The Lord can help you to forgive. And here's the catch to that. If you don't forgive your brother his trespasses, the Lord's not going to forgive you yours. All right. So he says, forgive us our debts as we forgive us. Give us this day our daily bread. And sometimes we want to have money set up, and I think we should. I think we should have a little nest egg and a little savings account and all that kind of thing. But let me tell you, David said he's been young. He was young and he was old. He's never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. So the Lord is going to take care of you no matter what. And the thing is, when you get into a tight spot, you seek the Lord and you ask the Lord to help you. You have the privilege of doing that, and the Lord will do that. All right. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Why? For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So it doesn't matter what evil comes our way, what difficulties come our way. The whole point is that we can ask the Lord to deliver us from this, and the Lord has the power. No matter how hard or how difficult it is, the Lord has the power to do it. I think it's important for us to get a hold of that. I think it's important for us, particularly, particularly for me in this stage of my life, I think it's important for me to understand and realize that the Lord has the power to do anything, no matter how difficult it is. And the Lord puts us in some situations and circumstances where they're difficult for us to be able to know and understand what the Lord can do. If you never had a problem, you would not know that He could solve them. You never know what faith in God can do. So the Lord allows some of these things, just like the widow and the unjust judge. The Lord allowed in this parable, and the parable is not a story, but it's a parable. And we've all been in these kinds of parables as real life to us. But the Lord wants us to understand what he said before he even told the parable, that men ought always pray and not faint. He's telling us that. He says, listen, there is always an out in the situations that you're going to come through. There's always an out. Just pray. Don't get so disappointed and upset about it. Pray. And if you got a prayer partner, somebody that can pray with you, get them to go and pray with you and ask the Lord to have mercy where one can chase 1,000, two can put 10,000 to flight. Pray. Men ought always pray and not faint. Yes. We have the privilege to go to the Lord in prayer. We sing that song. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, well, this is just too little and the Lord doesn't want to be bothered with that. The Lord is concerned about everything that concerns you. Yes. If this, you've got an eyelash, I get an eyelash in my eye, a little speck of dust that you can hardly see, but you can feel it, can't you? God is concerned about that. Those things that make us uncomfortable and bring discomfort in our life, God is concerned about that, and God wants us to pray about it. We have the privilege to go to Him, to the Lord in prayer, in every situation and every circumstance of life. Pray for me.